जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Verse number 22, delivered in ISKCON, Montreal, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bhai Ivala dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The first day we lectured on the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. Everyone remembers that?
Yes.
Yesterday we discussed Pasana Sanatana Goswami and briefly yesterday. Today we expect the words of the Bhagavatam and describe how deeply you are attached to the Lord. We have so many attachments, am I right? We are free of attachments. The devotee has to do attachments every day. Fruit of Allah. We all have a lot of material attachments. So how to overcome these attachments is nicely explained by Sanat Kumar in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. It's canto 4, chapter 22, text. We won't do the Sanskrit, just do the translation. Attachment to the Supreme can be freed by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying bhakti of that life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. Will you repeat after me? Attachment to the Supreme.
Attachment to the Supreme.
Can be increased.
Can be increased.
By practicing.
By practicing.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Inquiring about.
Inquiring about.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Applying bhakti yoga in life.
Applying bhakti yoga in life.
Worshipping the Yogeshwara.
Worshipping the Yogeshwara.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And by hearing and chanting.
And by hearing and chanting.
For the glory of the Supreme Lord.
About the glories of the Supreme Lord.
These actions are pious in themselves.
These actions are pious in themselves.
Om Tirunandasya. Yanandana Shakya Akshimandanina Asmai Shri Brahma Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Chavikamena Bhutare Sayam Rupa Kanama Dadi Sama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Abodhikananda Shri Hare Krishna. We all have material attachment, am I right? Attachment has to be there. The question is, positive or negative? Due to ignorance, we all have material attachment. Material attachments are the cause of our bondage. material attachments are responsible for our samsara of birth and death. To some degree, material attachments will always be there. But essentially, our goal should be how to be the attachment of the Supreme Lord. So in the fourth canto, you read about Prithu Maharaj and the Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj is considered a Shakta Vesha avatar. The Veda avatar today is very famous, isn't it? Even in the Western world, everyone's heard of avatar. Thanks to a Hollywood movie that was made years ago called Avatar. They spent over $250 million in making that movie, which I heard was supported, never saw that movie. But the movie was called Avatar, even though it had nothing to do with Krishna at all, or nothing to do with the Vedas. But still, that famous director called it Avatar. So Avatar means one in the sense of the spiritual world. So Prithu Maharaj was an avatar, and the Kumaras came to his palace. Prithu Maharaj washed their feet and asked them, what should be the goal of life? Just see, here is an incarnation asking the Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma, what should be the goal of life. In the Bhagavatam we see advanced devotees also, when they meet, they discuss how to make spiritual advancement. Like in the seventh canto, there's a very nice explanation of duties of a Grihastha, duties of a Brahmachari, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. And there's a chapter called Ideal Family Life. So in that chapter you see Yudhishthira Maharaj, who had complete knowledge, he approaches Narada Muni and says, please guide me. How can those of us who live in the house of the Ranashram achieve perfection based on the Vedas? So we see the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam is full of questions and answers. Arjuna is asking so many questions, right or wrong. Just like in the fourth chapter, Krishna said, I imparted this knowledge to the son of Vivasana, who in turn imparted it to Manu, who in turn imparted it to Ikshvaku. But in the course of time, the knowledge was lost, and I'm giving it to you again. So Arjuna questioned the Lord. He said, how do you want me to believe that you imparted this to the Son of God, when he's senior to you by birth? So to ask questions is nothing unnatural. When Prabhupada was in Montreal in 68, was lecturing in the temple on Park Avenue, 3720 Park Avenue, Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. Prabhupada was living at 420 Prince Arthur, right near the 5 minutes walk from the temple. And then after lecturing, he would ask for a question. And Jagadhara Swami was a Brahmachari at that time. But he would ask the most questions. And Prabhupada was very free. So the point is to ask questions, nothing, I'm not sure. But ask them from the right soul. And similarly, you see, the Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj asked the Kumaras, how can I achieve the goal of life? So from this pattern, we get an important message. And the important message is, when you meet a saintly person, you don't ask him for blessings, how can I become Bill Gates? You ask him for knowledge so that he can achieve the perfection of life. Of course, if you want to become as rich as Bill Gates and offer everything to Krishna, then it's okay. But usually, people's intentions change as they have material success. So, Sanat Kumar is guiding through the medium of Preeti Maharaj, all of us, how to be that attention for the Lord. What does he say? First of all, he says, can we feel by practicing devotional service? Devotional service devotional service is not something theoretical. It is something practical. And in essence it means using the body, mind, intelligence in service to the Lord. The classic example we have before us is that of Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj explains, Sarva Mana Krishna Padharana Govindaya. May my mind always think for the Lord. And he gave an example. He used his eyes to see. What did he use his eyes to see? Yeah. Use his ears to hear the glory of the Lord. Use his tongue to vibrate the glory they need. Krishna Prasad. Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, those who eat food without offering to me are eating only sin. So our goal is be Krishna Prasad. Use his legs to walk to the temple of the Lord. Of course, in today's environment, you may say, Maharaj, you get rid of walk to the temple on feel of we'll come here once a year. You can use his legs to drive your car to the temple. So praise the combination I'll give you an example. How we can use our different senses in service to the Lord. So, practice devotional service. These senses, mind, intelligence, they all need engagement. And the Krishna consciousness processes engage them positively and not negatively. In the absence of spiritual knowledge, we use them negatively. And in the presence of spiritual knowledge, we can be used then positively. So, here Kumara is saying, how do you feed your attachment? Inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are many subject matters one can inquire, isn't it? Is inquired. You have so many TV channels, previously you had channels with entertainment, etc. Then many years ago, the CNN started, which was nothing but news. Now I believe there are several news channels all over the world, including India. So in these news channels, what do they show? People inquiring and somebody answering. So we're all inquiring, but here it says, inquire about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does it mean? You may say, what should I inquire about the Supreme Lord? So we inquire how to execute the worship service. What does the Lord want for us? Prabhupada, when he would sign his letters, what would he write? You are ever
well-wisher.
You will see Prabhupada's letters, he would sign. You are ever well-wisher. devotee is our well-wisher. But the real well-wisher is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. That's why the Lord incarnates in different incarnations. Why does the Lord incarnate? Why did he incarnate? Paritanaya sadhana vinishinata svita dharma sansa paranataya amavami yogesha. Incarnates to establish religion. So, inquire, what is the Lord want? He is a well-wisher. Yesterday we celebrated the appearance day of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, as we explained yesterday, is a literary incarnation of the Lord. Why is the Lord incarnate as Vyasadeva? Why? Because the Lord is our well-wisher. He incarnated as Vyasadeva and gave us the vast Vedic literature that tells you nothing but to achieve the goal of life. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, Nada Vidam Svada Gatinya Vishnu. People do not know how real happiness can be found. So, in the absence of spiritual knowledge, we think that real happiness can be found by some material endeavors. And if you have spiritual knowledge, then you understand. If I want real happiness, then what path do I take? Path of devotional service. As Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanchati. One who is transcendently situated, always, what is he always?
Joyful.
He's always joyful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his followers to write volumes of books, but he left behind only 8 verses identified as a success. In the first verse, he highlights several points. For example, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the chanting of holy name, the heart gets cleansed. Our heart is heavily contaminated. In the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami states as follows. Rupa Goswami says, in the 7th verse, the holy name of the Lord is sweet like sugar cane. The pachams of the Lord are sweet like sugar candy. The form of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. Everyone likes sweets? Yes, no. Yes, no.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. That's why so many people have diabetes now. And people love sweets. And good for the dentist. The more sweets you eat, the more cavities you get. So anyway, people like sweets. Rupa Goswami said, the holy name of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. But he goes on to say, our tongue is afflicted with a disease called, what's it called? Avidya. What does avidya mean? Ignorance. Our tongue is just like, sometimes you get blisters in the tongue. So even if someone gives you something very palatable, if you have blisters in the tongue, can you taste it? Can you enjoy the taste, doctor? If you have blisters in the tongue. Sometimes you have high fever. Someone may give you something very palatable. Can you enjoy it? No. So Rupa Goswami says, the holy name is sweet like sugar candy, but our tongue is afflicted with avidya, that means We are attracted to all immature concepts. So we can't take the sweetness of the moment. Prabhupada is giving an example of someone suffering, having cataract in his eye. When you have cataract in your eye, you can't really see clearly. So due to these attachments called avidya, we can't taste the sweetness of the holy name. So the next question is there any hope? Is there a solution? The beauty of the Vedic literature is it identifies the problem and gives you the solution. In material society, your problem will be identified, but the solution is lacking. Just like with so many diseases, you go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, what's wrong?" And the doctor tells you that A, B, C, wrong. Any solution? Sorry, no solution. But the Vedas identify the problem and give you the solution. Just like Rupa Goswami. He says, okay, this is the problem. You are affected by avidya. But any solution, what's the solution he gives? He says, if, however, you chant the holy name attentively, regularly, then the disease will get cured. And again, you have a taste of the holy name. So the reality is, due to the influence of ignorance and avidya, our taste of the holy name is rather limited. Is that true? We don't have much of a taste. You finish at 16 rounds, you think, oh, it's a big burden of water. It was a good thing. We don't have much of a taste. Our whole endeavor is to get a taste of the holy name. You read the Bhagavatam from beginning to end, it focuses on nothing but the holy name. Read Prabhupada's purport. Almost every purport highlights. What does it highlight? The importance of chanting the holy name. The holy name, there's so many verses. Srimata Swakata Krishna Punya Shana Krishna. Eti Yandastra Budrari. By hearing the pious names of the Lord, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed. Just like in the Bhagavatam it says, Nasta Prayeshu Avadeshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevayam Bhagavati Yatamashtrakya Bhakti Bhavati. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed, and loving service is established. So, chanting and hearing is the basis on which a devotional foundation is established. If a chanting and hearing is regular and attentive, then you build a solid foundation. It's like in construction. If the foundation is strong, then you can expect the building to last. You can even add stories on the top. But if the foundation is weak, then there's danger of the building collapsing at any time. So similarly, on the devotional path, we need to develop a strong spiritual foundation. And that is what is described in this verse. How can you build a strong foundation? And the emphasis again and again is on chanting the holy name. Like Kumaras are saying, inquire of the Supreme Lord. Apply that means inquire, what is the Lord wanting to know? That is the idol devotee. He wants to know, what is Krishna's order for me? And it is coming down through the disciplic succession. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, This chanting cleanses the heart. We have experience of devotees. At one time, they were so addicted to sinful activities. But now that they chant, they progress to high levels. Once somebody in India asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you do some magic? Because generally, some people expect, the same person to be also a magician. So, Prabhupada says, no, I can't do any magic. But what magic I've done? So the man was really curious. What magic has Prabhupada done? I have converted thousands of lechers into brahmanas. That means those who were deeply addicted to nonsense activities and now become brahmanas. And how did they become brahmanas? By the power of chanting. Once when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, a magician came to his room. You know how magicians are. They place different objects in front of you and then they make them disappear. They call it chumantara in Hindi. They make them disappear. You know, have you ever seen that? So this man would keep things in front of Prabhupada and then by his magic make them disappear. So after a few endeavors, he asked Prabhupada, so how do you like my magic? Am I a good magician? Prabhupada said, yes, you're good. But can you make birth and death disappear? And he was making everything else disappear. Prabhupada said, can you make birth and death disappear? And the magician said, no. And Prabhupada said, I can do that. I'm a better magician than you. So, then Prabhupada did that through the weapon of the holy name. The holy name is our weapon. So this chanting of the holy name is the conclusion of the scripture. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalona Seva, Naseva, Naseva, Eva Gadiyam Nita. Parikshit Maharaj inquired. Parikshit Maharaj had heard how people are suffering and how they end up in the hellish planets and they do the wrong activities. So being a compassionate Vaishnava, we keep quiet. How will people be saved in Kali Yuga? And he had already heard what the symptoms of Kali Yuga are going to be. Quarrelsome, misguided, lazy, unfortunate. So he was compassionate. He asked Shukadeva Goswami, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? And Shukadeva Goswami said, Kali Yuga Sayyidi De Rajan, O King, Kali Yuga is an ocean of vice. Is that true or false? Kali Yuga is an ocean of vice. True? Everybody so see, imitation of all vice. You watch TV, radio, newspapers, the commercial jingles, ads, all inviting sense in there. But there is one benediction in this age, one special concession in this age. That is what? Genuinely holy name of Krishna. So we can see practically this process works. It's not something theoretical. Like today, ISKCON has branches. Virtually every corner of the globe. Prabhupada opened the first temple in New York in 66. Today, by Prabhupada's mercy, there are more than 650 temples all over the world. And they're all giving the same message. It's not that you're in Mount Kilik and one message, you're in Toronto and get another message. They're all giving the same message. That is, they're chanting the holy name. So that is what is being emphasized here. by Sanat Kumar also. And he says, apply Bhakti Yoga in life. Bhagavad Gita discusses many aspects of yoga. But ultimately, what does Bhagavad Gita conclude? What does Krishna say? If you want to know me, what do you need? Riches? You need riches to know God? A few PhD degrees? Beauty? No. Seva mukhe jivado. Through the medium of seva. And Krishna said, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. I can be known only through the path of devotional service. And we can practically see, we have devotees in our movement who had never heard of Krishna, who had never heard of Bhagavad Gita. But by practicing the process, they have become to their full faith in the Supreme Lord. So, Bhakti Yoga is a science in which you engage your body, mind and senses in service to the Lord. Krishna has made the path of Bhakti Yoga very simple. That's like in Gita, you can say it. Patram posat phalam. Offer me even a glass of water. Or a tulsi leaf. And I will accept it, but one, there's a one catch. What is the Krishna's condition? I'll accept it in what? In what condition?
Huh?
Love and devotion. Love and devotion is a sign of Bhakti Yoga. And this whole process that we have, beginning with Mangal Arati, is designed to create in us love and devotion for the Lord. So, inquire by the Lord, apply in Bhakti Yoga, worship the Lord. The Lord gets manifested in this Archa Vigraha form. This Archa Vigraha should not be considered, oh, here is some statue made up of metal or marble. No. Here is God. And based upon how we approach the Lord reciprocates. In the story of Madhavendra Puri, you see that Madhavendra Puri, he was headed for Jagannath Puri to bring sandalwood for the Lord. And he stopped in Ramana, a historical temple, where Radha Gopinath was being worshipped. That temple was famous for the sweet rice they would offer. That sweet rice would be called, what was the name of the sweet rice? Amrita Keli. Sweet rice made in heaven. That's the standard we should have. So he had a desire, if only he could taste this sweet rice, he would go back and offer such to his deity of Gopal. But unfortunately, he manifested his desire when the offering was going on. And the general etiquette is, when you're preparing an offering for the Lord in the kitchen, don't think, I'm going to offer it quickly and then I'm going to enjoy this spaghetti. You should just be meditating. This offering is being prepared for the pleasure of the Lord. Then it gets offered to the Lord. And after the Lord has eaten and the plates are pulled down, then you can taste it. So, Madhavendra Puri manifested a desire to taste it while the offering was going on. So he felt so embarrassed. He walked out. He didn't even taste the sweet rice. And then what did the Lord do? The Lord knew what his beloved devotee wanted. The Lord stole a cup of sweet rice hidden behind the curtain of the altar, through the pujari in a dream, I have hidden the sweet rice, take it and offer it to the Lord, and give it to Mother Nakuli. So, the Lord many manifests in the Archabhudra form. If you fly the path of Bhakti Yoga, then the statue doesn't remain a statue, the statue becomes God. And if you approach it from an academic angle, then it will just remain a statue. For example, there are impersonalists all over the world, including India. The impersonalists, for example, some of them, these hard nuts, they won't even come to a temple of the Lord. They think that, this is all concoction. But God is Achintya and Achyuta. Achintya means inconceivable, Achyuta means infallible. He can manifest himself in any form. So, the conclusion is, God appears in his Archabhudra form, thereby making it easy for the candidate to serve him and glorify him. And when we have an opportunity, we should do it. Worship the Yogeshwara. And the base is the process of chanting and hearing. So in the scriptures, we obtain complete knowledge about virtually every topic. And as we said earlier, the scriptures identify the problem and give the solution. Just like in the third chapter, Arjuna questioned, how is one compelled in sinful acts, even unwillingly? I know this is wrong. We know this should not be done. We still do it. What did Krishna reply? Kamaisa Krodesa. It is lust only, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity, which is always burning like fire, never said it. Arjuna wanted to know. We know that something is wrong, why do we do it? And Krishna says, it is lust only, which is not easy to control. That's not it. Krishna then proceeds to explain, where is this enemy located? That's like, in Canada you don't have a terrorism problem. In countries like India it's a big problem. So therefore then it went, terrorists came into Delhi or Bombay. And then they want to go a step ahead. Where are the terrorists? So Krishna says, enemy is lust. Then he says, where is it to be found? Where is lust located? Mind, intelligence,
senses,
good, smart boy. Mind, intelligence, and senses. These are the sitting places of the enemy known as lust. A Krishna has identified where the enemy is found. Is that enough, or do we need to go beyond that? Is it enough? Krishna has identified who is your enemy. He's identified where the enemy is hiding. Is there anything beyond that that should be done? Yes! How to tackle the enemy? Isn't it? How to handle the enemy? So what does Krishna say? With a weapon of knowledge, slay the eternal enemy. With a weapon of knowledge means by cultivating knowledge of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures, you can learn the art of slaying this eternal enemy. So the point we're trying to make is we have material attachments which need to be replaced with spiritual attachments. In the verse we read, Sanat Kumar explains how you can develop positive attachment. And the strength To follow this path comes from sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is a must if you want spiritual advancement. Sometimes people think, well, now I'm initiated, my ticket back to Godhead is assured. No. No. Initiation is just the beginning. If you follow the path, the instructions, then you can hope to go back to Godhead. But if you think, oh, I'm not initiated now, sometimes you see candidates getting initiated and reduce their association with devotees. That's not heaven. Association is a must. We should so mold our lives that we can regularly associate with devotees. This association will keep us on the right track. This association will keep reminding us of the importance of bhakti yoga. And if, as we said yesterday, if the unwanted weeds are developing, these unwanted weeds can also be uprooted out by the power of devotional service and executed in the association of devotees. So, mold your life in such a way that you can regularly associate. We have the Sunday program, we have so many festivals, Bhakti Vrishad, Namas. All these give us an opportunity to regularly associate. So our goal is to free ourselves from the anartha. And then Rupa Goswami says, by the process of Ajahn Kriya, you can free yourself from the anartha. And the anartha never be. So let us execute emotional service. As outlined by the Acharyas, explained by Prabhupada, and presented by Prabhupada in a very simple form. But Prabhupada then, he took the essence of the scriptures and presented it in a very simple format that can be understood by everyone. Prabhupada's purpose, we read them in very simple, simple language. And in very simple language, he presented the truth so that really conditioned souls can read. Therefore, if you want to dwell on positive attachment, reading is also very important. Sharanam Kirtanam, of course, is paramount, is most important. But reading the books and hearing is also very important. If we regularly hear and read, it will help us cleanse the heart. So the path of spiritual advancement is very nicely explained. Please take advantage of it. And as Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha nashya dharyat tata kama pravartana sangasya agya satavete sadhi bhakti prasadati. By chanting the Vaikita in devotional service, with determination and with enthusiasm, the devotional people will grow. So we should be enthusiastic and determined. Krishna says, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve what they have and I make them what they lack. We may be lacking in so many areas, but that can be overcome by sincerely endeavoring to stay on the devotional path. So please do it with enthusiasm and determination, and Krishna will help you. Prabhupada said, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps towards you. Let's take the first step. Be determined, and Krishna will help. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments? Yes.
I have a farm machine.
Can you come a little closer? He asked me this question the morning we were on a walk. I said, ask in the class. Oh, you want that one? Get it a question.
En français?
Oh no, no, it's in here.
Oui, en anglais. So I have to find the equilibrium between not being violent and not offending Krishna. Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita that letting somebody in ignorance is a kind of violence.
I'm sorry.
He said in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned to leave someone in ignorance is a form of violence.
Anyway, we try to preach to remove people's ignorance. So what's your question?
And it also says that not talking about Krishna to somebody who doesn't want it is an offense to Krishna.
Well, we go to Harinam, we do Harinam like we did today. Some people like it, some don't like it. And we still do it. I think we are misunderstanding. We talk about Krishna to everyone. The fortunate take to it, the unfortunate don't take to it. Okay. Yes. Yes, your question.
Where is the sign the heart is cleansed? How do we...
As the heart gets cleansed, or as the heart is getting cleaner, a taste for the holy name increases. A taste for good sadhana increases. A taste to read the book increases. We develop the mood of humility, meekness. We develop the mood of service. And sometimes we see, once somebody asked Bhaktisiddhanta a question, you see that sometimes some people make rapid advancement and some don't. So Bhaktisiddhanta replied by illustrating the story of a marriage party. They were going across the river for a marriage in the morning. They went to sleep and told the boatman, we have to reach tomorrow morning. But they woke up in the morning and found they were still where they were. And why? What was the reason? The anchor was not withdrawn. So the water was working. So the point that we had to withdraw the anchor from material attachments, then you make spiritual advancement. If you think that, oh, my sweet material attachments and devotional advancement, what's going to happen? That's difficult. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It's a nice cake with icing. You don't want to touch it. But the mouth is the saliva coming up. You want it. You won't feel like cutting it. If you cut it, then the beauty of the cake is gone. The point is that if you sincerely endeavor, Krishna will help. Yes. Anarthas can also increase. Yes, they can increase, but they can only increase if we are not following the process. If you're taking the medicine, according to the doctor's prescription, the medicine works. The fault is not in the medicine. Fall in the patient. And if the anarthas are increasing, in spite of being in the devotee association, in spite of observing good sadhana. And reveal your mind to somebody more at once and ask him, please help me and guide me how I can overcome this dilemma. The problem is sometimes we are having spiritual problems and we don't reveal our mind. Take help. Sadhusana means not that you just be with sadhus, not that only explains the three levels of sadhus. Those are more advanced than you, those are equal to you, and those are less advanced. So associate also with somebody who is more advanced, so that you can get ahead of the required help. Yes? More questions? Yeah.
Maharaj, how to foster humility in an increasingly competitive
world? How do you practice humility? Well, when we talk about humility in our classes, and the Prabhupada talks about humility in the books, essentially it means humility in dealing with devotees. In the material world, you may have been judged, and humility may be seen as a drawback. And that's what you're getting at. Once an American girl asked Prabhupada a question, how can you be humble and distribute books? But when you go on book distribution, the two approaches you can take. One is the approach of the Jehovah Witness, who stand on street corners with their magazine. And the other is the little aggressor. So the question was, how to be humble and distribute books? So Prabhupada said, be a lamb at home and a lion outside. So when you're dealing with devotees, be gentle like a lamb. When you're going to preach, be like a lion. But don't become a lion at home and a lamb outside. At home, I'm like a lion fighting with everyone in the temple. When it comes to preaching, I become a lamb. So, humility is a virtue, but when you are in the material world, you may have to adjust to circumstances.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
What is the difference between being meek versus being humble?
Frankly, we'll have to check in the English dictionary. By and large, in our practice, meek and humble are synonymous. Follow? Even though in the scriptures they do say humble and meek, but in practice it means more than the same thing. But with double emphasis, like Prabhupada says, repetition is necessary to drive the point home. So, but humility doesn't mean, some people think humility means speak softly, do dhanavads to everyone. But an important element of humility is recognizing, I am fool number one, I need guidance, please help me, how can I advance spiritually? That is humility. You are asking for knowledge, how can I advance spiritually? Humility doesn't mean dhanavads to everyone, Prabhu, hold your hands. That's good, but also the real to test to what extent are we willing to take correction, guidance, or our improvement. That's essential. Ajitriya said, accept a spiritual master, serve him, get initiated, then inquire, how can I make spiritual advancement? And then if you recover something, yeah. Okay, more questions? No more questions? Sorry, could you please repeat?
Listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.